All right, everybody. It's never that simple with Ramon. I am your host. I am your guy, your man. My name is Ramon. And we have a special episode podcast today. First and foremost, I would like to say thank you for continuing to listen to my podcast and having the opportunity to listen and get a perspective and things I like to talk about. I just want to get into a few things. It was an interesting summer. My fiance, now fiance, and I got a chance to spend some time in Chicago / Milwaukee. Milwaukee is my home. And also, we spent a good time on my birthday. My birthday was recently, but first, I would like to introduce my fiance, Sarah Guardiola. Say hi.
Hi.
You got to be louder than that.
Hi.
All right. So, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Hi. It's nice being here, I guess.
It's nice being here. So, anyway. So, first and foremost, just kind of backtrack a little bit. We got engaged a few months ago.
Finally.
So finally you've been together for about 4 years and finally took that plunge and now we are engaged. How do you feel, Sarah, about being engaged?
It's exciting and I like it, but it's very nerve-wracking trying to plan a wedding.
So nerve-wracking, huh? So, you've been dreaming your whole life for a moment like this, and some of the things, what have you learned in the process for yourself so far?
I am poor.
Very poor?
I'm very poor. I have a caviar taste on a beer budget.
That makes sense.
I kind of already knew that about myself, because if I were asked to choose something from a line of 3 or 4 items or objects, I always tend to choose the more expensive one without knowing the price.
Well, I mean, it tends to be anyone where you feel like it's a moment you've been waiting for. It's the most exciting day of your life. How long have you been waiting for the day you get married?
Really? You put me on blast.
Yes, you know, I have to do that.
I guess 24 years now?
24 years.
I mean, no, not 24 years. 12 years. Because I figured I would have been married by the age of 24 to my college boyfriend, but life happens.
And then boom, bow, you met me and it's been the best decision you've made in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes it's hard for people to admit that. But anyway, all right, so is there something that you really figured is very important for you for that day?
Out of everything, well, for my family and friends to be there, but out of everything, the dress, the cake, and having really good photos taken.
So let's get past all the little nice little stuff. So, all right. So, how did you figure out that I was the one? I know that was one of those things everyone wants to know.
Oh, God. I don't know.
So, the day I proposed, like, what was going through your mind? Tell us a story about that day for you.
You cry.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's good to kind of just let people talk about.
I don't want to cry.
Oh, well, I don't want you to, but.
It had been a long day. I was currently taking CDL classes to earn a Class A license. So I had been at work all day from 9 to 5, and then I had been in class from 5:30 to 8:30, and it had been a very frustrating day, not only at work, but in class, because I was learning to offset park. And I was having a hell of a time doing that. So, mind you, this was like early summer too. So we had been out there for a couple of hours. I kind of finally figured out how to do it correctly, but it still wasn't where it needed to be. So I was hot, sweaty, frustrated. And then you had texted me to tell you when I was heading home or to call you. And which I didn't think it was out of the ordinary, because usually we're trying to figure out what we're having for dinner, or where we're going. So I was like, okay, whatever. It's just the same old, same old. And so then I forgot to call. No, I didn't forget to call. I ended up being there just a little bit later than normal. And then you called me. I think you called me, right? Yes. Asking me where I was at. And then I told you I was heading home. You're like, oh, okay. You're like, well, I'm at the park. And I'm like, why is he at the park? And then you asked me to come to said park. And I didn't want to go to the park because I was tired, hot, and frustrated. And I just wanted to come home, take a shower, eat, and go to sleep. And then you're like, oh, so I told you, I was like, well, I'll see you when you get home. And you're just like, no, why don't you swing by? And I was just like, that's what I said in my head. I was like, I don't want to go. But I was like, whatever, I'll go. And so I drove over there. And I was just kind of like thinking, why is this man wanting me to go to the park? I mean, we've gone to the park before, but, you know, it was just kind of random. And then I kind of started thinking, I was like, this can't be it. There's no way. Like, because, I mean, he had been asking me random questions about jewelry and different metals and yada, yada. So then I was like, okay. So then I was like, still thinking, I was like, no, this still can't be it. Like, not on a work day after I'm all hot, sweaty, and gross. Sweaty. And so I pull up, and then I see you, and I kind of knew this was it, because you were kind of dressed up, not super dressed up, but yeah, you look, yeah, you know, nicer fine than, yeah, an everyday look. So I was like, oh no, I think this is it. And then you were sitting there on the boulder, like where we used to chill, and then where you ran away from a little garden snake, aka false lizard.
No.
He ran like a little bitch.
Dang, I gotta be all that.
I'm just kidding.
Nah, she's serious, y'all.
And he just left me there.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that said, I kind of saw a little flickering light behind him when he stood up. And then I just remember him saying something. I don't even remember what all you said. Or something about the long, along the lines that you were wanting to kind of come full circle and start off where we had began, and you said some other stuff too. And then I don't really remember what you say anymore. It just happened so fast. And then next thing I know, you had dropped down to your knee, and then I started crying. And then of course I said yes. So here we are.
Great moment.
4 years later and yes, some change.
So, you know, usually people use that, it's about time and all the other good stuff. But I think what's important was just some people have to dig knee deep and find just how a relationship is built. You know, I think I've looked at my relationship as I'm dating my best friend. And that's the best way to put it. You have to have a best friend element to it. Because I think that's more important than anything else, because especially when you're living with that person and the disagreements you have and just the growth people have to come to terms with. And one thing I know I'm good at is being a friend. That's my best bet. And so I use that for my relationship. But anyway, enough of that old sad ass shit. No, I'm playing. So fast forward, everything's planning out. So pretty soon we're going to get to that. So now we was in Chicago recently, and Chicago's always fun because Sarah gets the opportunity to get flown out. Her job flies her out. So shout out to the people, you know, with the flyouts for other reasons. But we spent some time hotel downtown and things like that. And
Michigan Avenue.
Oh, yeah. So in Magnificent Mile area. And to me, you know, it was around the time of my mom's birthday. So when we got in early Sunday, I first have to say, like, it's so much easier now going compared to last year. Because we had no idea what to do. We knew we was going to take this long train. Fortunately, my older sister was in town still, because she lives downtown area. And it was nice outside. The weather was beautiful. Had a nice cool breeze to it. It wasn't disrespectfully hot compared to Houston. And so, you know, I think Sarah's always said that she had this fear that she'll love Chicago and want to move to Chicago. I know she has a lot here in Texas, especially when it comes to family, but you know, I don't know when the opportunity ever comes or what would be the sweeten the deal. But Chicago's always been dope. Like, how do you view Chicago?
I had never been to Chicago till last year, and something inside of me told me once I stepped foot or landed in Chicago that I was going to fall in love with it. And sure enough, I had the same thoughts with Houston too, though. I had never been to Houston, and I knew that all I knew is that I wanted to move to Houston and get here as soon as possible. So Chicago, it's like Houston's the love of my life, but Chicago's the side piece right now because I like and love Chicago too. But I could never leave Houston for Chicago.
You know, it's interesting you say that because the way I view Chicago is just different because I'm from the Midwest, being from Milwaukee. I lived in Rockford for a year when I was in fourth grade, but I never had a good relationship with Chicago for so long. You know, like when I moved to Madison, people from Chicago, it's just a lot of arrogance. You know, it's not something I was used to. You know, me being from Milwaukee, I know it's like a natural competitive nature in so many different ways between Milwaukee and Chicago. You know, the times I've been there, something crazy ended up happening, like being stranded out there or dealing with a car being broke down out in Chicago, or, you know, like more positive times, able to go kick with my homeboy and he had his family out there. But my view of Chicago is a little different. I think that's any city when you are familiar and know kind of like the quote-unquote rougher areas of the city. Now, things change where I was like, I'm in Chicago, but I'm in downtown Chicago, and wow, this is beautiful. And I have
Well, yeah, because we only see the nice parts. We haven't, or I haven't seen the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford to live downtown, so, or we can't, so we would end up being out in the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, it's always a narrative to, like, certain cities like that. And, like, people love Houston, but you go certain parts of Houston, you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, my God. And, you know, especially when you have bigger cities that's more of a tourist attraction, like, every city's going to have this issue, especially the bigger ones, the homelessness, some of the forgotten neighborhoods that's been around for a long time, but you know, I naturally view things from that point of view compared to, like, you know, someone, you know, like Sarah, she likes Chicago because she's had the opportunity to be in Chicago and spend some time in the areas where it's like it's presented to you to spend time in Chicago. And obviously, it was always a good time. Made life easier. And, you know, the food, I had something so good. This lasagna I had, even though a lot of places are expensive, you ain't really got money like that.
But it's because the area we're at, too. And that was, like, legit food.
Yeah, but when you broke, like, can you imagine, like, every day?
Well, we wouldn't be eating there every day.
Well, even if you go to the grocery store, things like that. I mean, it picks up. But, you know, I think we probably view it differently because if you live in Chicago, hopefully and more likely you're compensated in how much you get paid in Chicago will match to the lifestyle of Chicago and where the prices are. I feel like Houston is kind of behind that still because things are more expensive than you think. It's just the pay is still trash, but it's still cheaper than places like Chicago, LA, and New York. So that's kind of the tricky part. So after Chicago, we go to Milwaukee and see family. So this is what, your third time being in Milwaukee, right?
Yes.
So how do you view Milwaukee, you know, just my hometown, going through the different neighborhoods, things like that?
I think it's a pretty city. I think it's, well, I didn't live there, but I think it's a better city than what you make it seem to be.
That's how I address it, that's why.
I really like Lake Michigan and the lakefront area. It's pretty. It's like, I think, a decent size. It's not too big, but it's not too small. I mean, you can totally tell, like, the division. But, I mean, it's kind of like that here, too, from place to place. So, but I think it's just a little bit more, I guess, clean cut over there than it is here.
Yeah, I think I think when you have smaller, and I think that's what makes it more interesting for a place that's a smaller city than the bigger cities, but it's known as a big city, just by, it's actually a dot on the map, is, you know, in bigger cities, there will be certain areas where they quote unquote say there's not enough money to always invest in every single place. And, you know, Milwaukee, you know, you can get, even with no traffic, from the north side of town to downtown in less than 10 minutes. You know, like that's a crazy thing. And even now, more than ever, me being in Houston for 8 years, it's like a 10-minute drive is literally like your next door neighbor, it feels like, here sometimes. Yeah. So, you know, and I think the times I've, you know, before when I first left, I really didn't, you know, I wanted to get away. You miss the people and things like that, but it's a little different. It's a little bit different when, well, you have, you know, like my mom and cousin, they stay out in Cudahy. So different when you're out in Cudahy, and it's pretty quiet out there. And then I just drive into Milwaukee and take look the little highway to go past like Michigan. That's the most I've ever, was it 794 or something like that? Whatever highway, to, like that's the most I've ever taken that damn highway. So, yeah, and what's interesting is, from my point of view, is visiting Milwaukee, I have a more appreciation for it than before. Now it's a little bittersweet because, you know, fortunately, I haven't lost a lot of family members, but outside of grandparents. But as you get older, that means that everyone's getting old at the same time, which also means that a lot of people are dealing with a lot of health issues. And they're not just like, you know, regular health issues. You're talking about like you go see them and they land in bed because they're consistently sick. You know, even if you see them post stuff on social media, it's like they can't kick it like they used to. They're going to have their off days and they're going to have their good days.
They can get in the kitchen and cook when I'm out of town.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So shout out to my Auntie Jan because, you know, she be thrown down in the kitchen, especially when you see it on Facebook.
I don't want you know, to hear me say that.
No, they're going to hear it. Don't worry. We're going to try to convince people that she's a vendor so she can cook the food for our wedding. Anyway, because I've done enough weddings the last 7 years and food has been real side-eye questionable. But anyway, so, I think it's always been great to visit Milwaukee and see a lot of people and just seeing so many people. Like, going from Chicago when we got the rental car, we got there, what, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. Yes, Thursday afternoon. From Thursday afternoon all the way to Sunday when Sarah left. And then I was there until Tuesday with my mom's car. So I'm talking about like going to Chicago, driving to Milwaukee, seeing people, going to Madison on a Saturday, doing a little this and that, you go back to Milwaukee, kick it. Like I legit can say I probably almost put 2 full tanks of gas of me just moving around, going to see people. Like, that's crazy. And, like, I genuinely just want to make sure people are doing what everyone's been dealing with so much and things like that. But, like, I think it's just enjoyable for me now. And the appreciation. You know, sometimes when you leave a place, you feel like you wasn't really appreciated like that. And then, you know, people really miss you and, you know, and they want to kick it with you. And I think that it's a very humbling thing for me because it says a lot about your character and what you mean to the people you see. Kind of move forward real quick. My birthday is just the other day. I turned 33 years old. So it was nice just kicking it with people. And I know everyone was able to make it, but, you know, it was just nice and able to hang out.
3.5 years ago.
Yeah. Sarah, you was 33 once upon a time.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Back in.
But, so it was real nice. But anyway, let's get to the shits.
What shits?
Today's the shits. The shits are, you know, it's been flooding in Houston today.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, yeah, it is a tough thing to talk about. It's a little frustrating. Unfortunately, Houston has been dealing with another flood issue. So, it was called Amita?
Imelda,
my bad. And it was a tropical storm, not particularly a hurricane. And
well, it started as a depression. It just started out like randomness, and then it just kind of formed right before it hit us.
And I think today, you know, early, I'm glad Sarah's able to kind of sit down and just kick it with your boy on this one, because, you know, she just wanted to go to bed. You know, just a, it's a very emotionally draining day. She was stranded at work for a little bit.
They there kinda, are people still stranded at work right now.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, she feel bad, you know, because people are out there and she was able to get home and safe. But there are people who still dealing with trying to get home. And, you know, I particularly not mad and frustrated at those people. I just don't like the fact that there are so many people who have the responsibility to make sure the citizens or their workers are safe. And once again, to downplay something like a tropical storm or any type of storm, where a city that is not made to handle a lot of water can be frustrating, because, you know, lives could be affected mentally and emotionally over stuff like this. Physically, because people can die. And
people are still recovering from Harvey.
Yeah, there are some people who, you know, lost cars and lost homes, and they have to go through the whole process in order to get those things back. Or, you know, hopefully the insurance is working in good faith to help them out. And it's trash. You know, it's been very, very frustrating. Like, I have all the jokes all the time, and I shit on Houston anytime I get a chance to. And I know this is not the time, but it's, you know, it gets bad when somebody posted a video with the kids in school have to walk on the little benches just to avoid stepping in water, because most people feel like HISD wasn't responsible enough to say, look, we're just going to close schools.
No, everybody else around town or other school districts closed but Houston.
And, you know, and the thing about it is, from my understanding and how people view HISD, it has a very bad reputation compared to the surrounding school districts. And it's like, in this moment, you're not helping the reputation you already have, you know, where it comes off like you don't care about the kids. Like, you know, they have these rules of how many hours or how many days or whatever kids are supposed to be in school. This is not helping. No. Because even when you young, think about how people view young kids growing up in a certain type of household. And we're talking about things like kids dealing with when it comes to dangerous things going on within the school, and they have to adjust to that. And, you know, that's a whole different subject for another day. But then you add this where, like, the parent had to go out the way because they had to go to work, because their job is not saying, hey, look, it's flooding around the city, our area is okay, but look, just stay home and be safe. Because you can't dictate where rain goes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm from a place where if it snows pretty much stick around. You have to be careful with ice and things like that. And one time I was going to college in Kenosha at UW Parkside. I worked at Target all the way in Menominee Falls. For some odd reason, they treated me like I kind of didn't go to college, because they always kind of gave the UW Milwaukee kids all the passes, and they was just, you know, within the area. But for me, I had to drive an hour to work, even during a snowstorm. Remember, you get to work. Like, and I did that. 20-year-old me did that shit. And it's like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, I look at things totally different now. You know, because especially when it comes to this flood, like, you can't dictate where water is going to go. When it's raining, you just hope it stopped raining. But when it floods, you have to wait until water somehow finds a drain or finds a place where it can finally go down. So people can wait for the rain to stop. But then you add hours on after that to hopefully finally goes down, so they'll be able to drive safely to where they're trying to get to and not be stranded anywhere. You know, unfortunately, when people are in their house and water getting in their house, like, I understand that part. But how about take responsibility and not let people leave the house and be within the safest place they can be? Some people don't want to be stranded at work. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I want to eat what I have in the house. If I want to take a shit, I want to take a shit in the comfortable bathroom within my house. I don't want to sit at work and be, you know what I'm saying? And Sarah had to deal with that. Unfortunately, she works at a really nice place at the Houston Food Bank. Imagine you work at a place where your job don't have the comfortability you can kind of sit back. Yeah. You know? And so, yeah, it's just crazy, and I just hope all is well and things like that. It's, you know, I don't like when we always have to be reactive instead of being proactive. You know, Houston, the city, everyone knows that it has a flooding problem. This is the fourth major flood in four and a half years. We can't act brand. Like, and the thing about it was the hurricane was huge. The first two times it flooded, it was just raining a lot. This actually had a name to it, a tropical storm. So even if it calms down or goes or kind of laid back, no, you can't downplay that. You're just going to have to take an L as a business, say, you know what, we're closing down today. Please stay home.
But it wasn't supposed to be anywhere near as bad as it was today.
Yeah, but Houston, okay, for example, it showed like maybe close to 50 inches of rain or something like that. It was close to, I don't even know how many inches or, like, I don't know exactly how they do all this stuff, but I seen something based around that, and it was comparing to the other major storms that happened within the United States or even in Texas alone. But the thing about it is, it's like, why take that chance and say, okay, this tropical storm is going to be bad? When you say tropical storm is going to be bad for a city that can't handle rain in the first place, no, you treat that as we're going to take this as serious as possible. If so, you know, you can have the worst killer and the worst murderer of all time. If somebody say this is the 10th worst killer ever in American history or the 15th worst, like, the number doesn't even matter anymore. It's the fact that there's certain words. And when you say it's going to rain a lot for the next 3 days, the wind is going to be probably 30 to 40 miles per hour the next few days, and it's going to rain nonstop, and it might sit over the city. You take that seriously. So I just hope all is well, and I hope, hey, can we just, like, I don't exactly know the solution when you have millions and millions of people here. But I just know that there are certain things from a certain point of view where we just have to stop being hard-headed. Like, stop being hard-headed. That's like, and what I mean by hard-headed is like, yo, we are aware enough to know what's going on. Why keep making the same mistakes over and over again? Why does this thing keep repeating itself knowing what's going to happen? You know, like, and I think that's kind of the thing where I have an issue with. We're just like, yo, we got to be smarter than that when it comes to things like that. I understand things might go slow. You probably need to go somewhere, go to work. You don't want to miss work. You feel like you're late one more time, you might get fired. Hey, look, safety is way more important than that. Yeah. And so, anyway. You doing all right? Mm-hmm. How you feel? Now, does it fit? Okay, so we were sitting here, and I always said that, hey, Sarah, look, I always kind of just want to record you and just, we was thinking about, I was just like, man, we should just do a podcast, you and I. Mm. See, we can get way more ignorant than that, but then Sarah don't want to, she don't want to have this perception out here of how ignorant she can get.
I don't get ignorant like that.
And the things she says and how she is, because Sarah be out here wilding. She be saying some wild stuff. And it's pretty funny. But she out here just act like, oh, you know, I'm this. And it was funny. With my family and some of my friends, they just think Sarah just the sweetest of sweethearts. And it's like, oh, don't. Look, I'm the victim here, okay? I'm the innocent one.
You're not the innocent one.
How am I not the innocent one?
That's lies and scandals. All right, how's because that you always start stuff and you always say crazy ass shit.
Like what?
I'm not going to say what you say.
I'm trying to figure out me starting stuff. Like, what do you mean by starting stuff? Like, saying
stuff.
Like,
doing stuff.
Dang, that's crazy. So you're just going to lie in front of American people?
I'm not lying. I'm saying it. I'm calling it how it is.
Oh, okay. Well, you're wrong, ma'am.
No.
Look, she be out here trying to make it seem like I'm trash. Look, I'm innocent.
I didn't say you're trash. Excuse me.
I don't even be saying stuff that... You see, that's why I say don't be in relationships. It's overrated, everybody.
These people over here saying all these storms forming with names like it's a Mexican reunion. And then here comes the white son-in-law, Jerry. Because at the moment, there's a Kiko, Mario, Lorena, Imelda, Humberto, and then Jerry's chilling off of the south.
Yeah, where the hell of get South all these America. From?
They like sit there and they make names. Somebody is paid to... name these storms every year.
Like, do and they do it in alphabetical order?
Mm-hmm. And they alternate male, female, male, female. You didn't know that?
I mean, I know they did it in alphabetical order, you know, but... And I guess I understand, you kind of have to give something a name,
You can't have duplicate names.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, you don't want to have a Harvey, too.
Yeah, you always say...
You, that, for sure, needs to be fucking retired.
Harvey Jr.?
We don't, we're not doing a
Harvey. Katrina the Third, even though there's not women with the third, but you know what I mean. Little Katrina. But, yeah, that's crazy, though. So, anyway, I think that what's really cool is I kind of want to ask Sarah about just her career.
You know, right now?
Yeah, actually right now. So, Sarah's a graphic designer. This is a random Yeah, it's random.
Topic.
Yep, babe. It's so random, but you're a graphic designer. Mm-hmm. How long have you been a graphic designer?
I was told I can count since high school.
Why since high school?
Because I was doing layouts. I was already designing back in high school.
And so that kind of got you interested in doing it after you graduated high school?
Yeah, because if I technically do it since I graduated college, that's 12 years. But if I add the 3 years in high school, that puts me at 15 years.
So you come from a background where your mother was an educator, a teacher, mm-hmm. and your dad was the blue-collar man. And, you know, I know it was probably the education part was very important throughout your family. Why not a teacher?
Because I would end up on the 10 o'clock news.
The 10 o'clock news?
Yeah. Local teacher chokes student and class or something.
Do you feel like you don't have patience or something? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we just, I don't even know why I asked that question. Yeah, yeah. You impatient. Like,
I am the most impatient person in the world, and I have no problem saying that.
Yeah, that's nothing to brag about either.
I'm not bragging. I'm just, I...
Like, you know,
I
you
keep
should
it honest.
It. You know what? I'm glad you didn't go to school to be a doctor.
Well...
Because if you started...
After my dad had his stroke, I was really intrigued with neurology. And I... Well, I mean, one, I would have never wanted my dad to have a stroke. But two, had it happened, like, while I was still in school, I think I would have changed my major to neurology.
I'm glad you told that story because I had a good joke. And I don't even tell the joke no more about you being a doctor.
Why were we going to say?
Because, you know, if you had to open a firm or something like that or whatever office, you have to close it down because you have no patients. Anyway.
That was a whack.
Yes, don't hate on my corny joke.
That was a dad joke.
Yes.
You're not even a dad yet.
See? I'm good at this. That's the whole point of me being on the mic.
Our poor kids.
But how are you going to say poor kids? I'm more concerned with kids being more like you. There's I say more like you because they're going to get on your nerves. Because then you'll understand
they
the pain.
They won't get on my nerves.
Because you'll understand what I go through. Because they're going to get on your nerves. Imagine like the whiny just, mommy. That's why you're looking at me right now. It's like you got the look just, I think your eye might twitch. You're going to pop a contact out your eye. Anyway. But so going to school, what was like... Was it a tough process knowing, okay, this is what I want to do, but you obviously you have to convince, you know, your parents this is what you want to do. You have to convince people in general because...
I pretty much had to slap a hoe and tell her this is what I'm going to do. Not really, because I'd be dead right now.
Hey, guys, I told you, Sarah's out here ignorant.
My mom cannot hear that.
Ignorant.
They always said to be a teacher because it would be more stable. And to some degree, it's true because you never have a shortages. You always have a shortage of teachers. You never hear about a statewide shortage of graphic designers. But I just couldn't do it. I don't remember exactly how the whole thing went down, but I pretty much was like, no, this is what I want to do and this is what I'm going to do. Even though they were the ones paying for it because I was fortunate enough to have them pay for my education. But... yeah, but they've now, since I'm a professional and after I graduated, I've been used and abused by all of them. I've done countless things for my mom. She does taxes on the side. So I did the whole branding for her business cards. I mean, if she wanted a website, there'd be a website. My sister Teresa has used and abused me for her wedding and classroom stuff. And I don't think Andrea. I've done a few little things for Andrea. Not really Jesse or... Oh, no, and Elizabeth, I've made countless shirts. Like with the iron-on stuff back in the day. So, I mean, they've gotten their fair use of me. So they can't really complain.
Was there a time you ever wanted to give up doing it? Being graphic design? Because obviously it's a lot.
We were actually talking about this at work the other day. I think, when was it? Today's Thursday? I think Tuesday. Misty was like, what would you be doing right now if you weren't doing what you're doing? I was like, that's a good question. I was like, I can't even think of anything else that I'd want to do. That's crazy. Because I've applied for positions. Well, when I first moved to Houston, I applied to positions that were not within my career field. But that's because I was just trying to find a job to pay the bills. But ever since then, it's either been like designer, marketing, some sort of marketing coordinator or social media person. But I've never like dabbled outside of what I do.
Was there almost a point you wanted to teach? Because the jobs...
No. I got laid off back in 08, but which that ended up being a blessing in disguise. But during that time, my mom was like, you should go get certified so you can be a teacher. Because like in Texas, you can, as long as you have a bachelor's degree, you can get a teacher's certificate. Can't talk. So there was that time then. And then when I quit my job back in... when I quit my job back in 2015... Yep. I lied to him when we met. I told him I had a job. Yo, fam,
I got
to
tell y'all a story real quick. I'm out here, you know, we just kind of come across each other. And then she invite me to go dinner, you know what I'm saying? And, you know.
I had some money in the bank.
Yeah, she had some money in the bank. You know, she had resources. But this is the crazy part about it. So she just quit her job. We go on the first date.
I didn't just quit. They pushed me to quit my job. Fucking racist people.
Yeah. Eat a dick. No, it's play. Anyway, so this is my whole thing.
Fuck white people.
You can't be saying that. Anyway, she said on the mic, Sarah Wardiola is her name. No, but for real though. So it was like, what's funny is when we started kicking it, whatever, and I'm talking about my job and I'm hitting her up, I'm like, hey, how's work? And then she'd be like,
how long is this going?
It's going long enough. That's what she said. Anyway, that's what she said, mom? Anyway, it don't even matter. So, I, you know, me talking about work and all this other stuff. And she, you know, I'm like, oh, how's work good for you? Oh, it's good. You know, we got out already early today. The whole time she not even working. When I'm out here.
I'm not upset I got out early. I would probably been like, oh, worked on a brochure today or business card.
Well, see, now she telling, she exposing her lies. Live.
Well, because I didn't want you thinking I was one of those girls trying to go after your money. Because, you know, that's really why I'm here. I'm here for the money.
And the joke's on her now. But you know what's crazy is I couldn't do that. If I tell her, you know, just let you know the whole time we was dating for like the first few months, I didn't even have a job.
I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, they all say that. So if we would have went on our first date and that bill would have came out $60, I'd look at you like, hey, look.
Then man, you would have had no business meeting me for dinner.
It don't matter because I didn't try to hug you or kiss you in the first date anyway.
Not a damn thing.
I guess I'm the winner in this.
Anyway.
But I'm suffering, so I don't know if I'm really winning right now.
How are you suffering?
Hey, it don't even matter. I'm not, but maybe I am. You never know. Anyway, so what do you see yourself like just future-wise when it comes to your graphic design? What is it, what you want to do?
My dream would have been to have been a creative director in New York City for like a big magazine like Cosmopolitan.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's what I always wanted to do.
Still young. Yes, you're still young.
Yes, I'm still young, but I don't have that talent.
How do you know you don't have the talent? We've seen your work.
I know, but still. Long-run career goals? I don't know. I mean, I own my own business now. I would like to make that my full-time job, but it's kind of nice just showing up and... essentially punching in and punching out, and there's a check every other week. Instead of having to hunt people down, market myself, threaten them to pay up, because that sucks. I would like to move up in my career, like eventually be a director, or a coordinator. Unfortunately, I think it would have to be at another organization because I don't see my manager or director leaving anytime soon. But yeah, I know I want to stay in the nonprofit sector. I mean, oil and gas is great, but I feel fulfilled at the end of the day because I get to do what I love and I get to help people. So, yeah.
I used to feel that way too. Helping people. Well, that's good. I think, you know, and by the way, she's also helping me with my DJ business, DJ Ramon, that's my name.
Getting used and abused as well.
Like, it's the first time I ever utilized her, and everybody on the ground has been telling me, like, yo, Ramon, you should really utilize her to do this and do this. So she's been really helping me out with that and try to expand and grow the business. And also, too, I must say, the things that I have going on right now, it's because she pretty much helped me with all that. She's the one to find out about the programs.
It needs a good swift kick in the ass to get motivated sometimes.
Yeah, you know. Behind every strong, great man and his
even greater, stronger woman.
Wait, I didn't finish my thought yet. Behind every great, strong man or strong, great man is her.
Is her? I'm not just a her.
My bad. It's Sarah Guardiola. But anyway.
I need you to learn how to say my name properly.
Oh, I say your name.
Hmm.
You be in my ear like,
What is wrong with you? That's the ignorant shit he says.
See, hey, look, I'm about the content. This is about content right now. It's not true. She don't be in my ear. Matter of fact, I don't even sound like that. Who sounds like that? Anyway, so look, we're gonna stop here. Sarah, thank you very much for doing this. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good start. Maybe we'll have you on again. And we can really get ignorant. Because I know you want to get ignorant. I know you got some stuff to say.
I don't have stuff to say.
Hey, did it feel good doing this right now? How does it feel?
It's kind of cool.
See, it's kind of... See, and she don't even like podcasts like that.
I hate podcasts.
I don't know how... Look, she rather listen Look, Arian Foster like her future baby daddy, right?
And she don't even listen to his podcast.
And his podcast is really good.
No, not about it.
She rather listen to Weeknd and Coldplay all day.
Fuck yeah.
I hope they have a podcast and you have to listen to them.
I still wouldn't listen.
Yeah, you going to like podcasts.
Nope.
You're going to learn today and tomorrow.
My mom's going to learn today.
Yeah, she learns every day. Shout out to my moms. Anyway, all right, y'all. Thank you for listening. It's Never That Simple with Ramon. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for coming out to the front room.
Really?
And yeah, holla at your boy.